and all, most of us want to lose weight. And he was talking about the spiritual thing that we're carrying in other people. The thing in the spirit that we carry, which is so heavy, and we need to let go of those. And one of the keys to talk about was about forgiveness. And you know what? Usually, if you bring a tears here, you bring an encounter, you've heard about that a zillion times. But one of the things that I really felt, what he spoke about, that really touched many of us, when he said, you know what, when he talk about forgiveness, when he talk about how God wants to release the blessing to us, because I believe this is very temporary, that we're here, we don't have our own location, but God wants to bless us with finances. And you know what, when I think of that, he said, really hit many of us. He said, you know what, many of us, we don't have a problem when we see a poor person getting rich, but we do have a problem. No, we do have a problem. We wonder, why is that one getting richer and richer? And what is our issue? He kind of touched a few things that I feel like, I hope you have meditated during the week and asked them, what is it? Because I believe that we need to minister to the poor and those who are poor in spirit as well. We need to be able to minister to all kinds of people. Because some of us, maybe we just feel very comfortable ministering to those who are not as poorer than us, but those who are richer than us in financial, I'm talking about finances right now, right? Because a lot of different riches. I'm talking about finances right now. And we do have a problem to minister to them. And I believe that God has given us the authority and also has given us the wisdom to be able to minister to all kinds of people. There will be a specific target that God has given us that we should be able to talk with everyone, to be able to learn from everyone. And these are one of the things that we need to cut. Some of the weights that we're carrying that we need to cut, and forgiveness is so key. Because this week I was able to just check my life and some of the things that we think we have done, but God always goes into layers. Okay, correct? And now what I'm going to talk about, I'm going to talk fasting. Because I really feel like where we're going, God is bringing new things into our lives. And how many know that it is a miracle to talk about fasting in 20 minutes?
Go fast.
Go fast. And you know what? When we talk about fasting, you have to realize that I cannot talk about fasting without prayer. Prayer and fasting go together. As a Christian, we fast and pray. And the dictionary, the way they describe fasting is to abstain from food or certain food or to eat very little. And in scripture, it's almost always eating. And we have different kind of fasting. We have regular fast where you don't eat, you abstain from food. We have partial fast, we call it the diet fast, where you don't eat certain kind of food. Many people, they will not eat, they will eat vegetables and drink water, but they will not have any dairy food. They will have grains, and they call it partial fast, diet fast. And another kind of fast is a total fast, which is no food, no water. And in the Bible, the most days of what? Actually, 3 days, if you don't drink and eat, you have to be very careful because your kidney might shut down. So this is something really, but if you want to do that, if you feel like God wants you to do that, you really need to make sure it's God. And which God? The God Almighty. Because there's a lot of people who say, you know what? God told me to do that, God told me to do that. We need to know which God is telling us to do that. It has to be the God Almighty, because you might get yourself in trouble. And some people, they fast from, you know, anything that you temporarily give up in order to better focus on God could be considered a fast. Some people, they fast media, because media is taking too much of their time. Some people fast coffee. Some people fast reading magazines. Some people fast reading Christian books, because they read Christian books more than they read the Bible. So there are a lot of things that we can fast. And I'm going to tell you about the different length of fast in the Bible. We have 1 day fast, which is the Day of Atonement. I think this is the easiest fast, because it's taught on Sunday in the Christian center. And then we have the 3 day fasting, and Paul and Esther did that. We have the 7 day fast, and David fasted when his son was sick. And then we have the 3 weeks fasting, which is the Daniel fast, and also we have the 40 days fast. when the Moses did that, Jesus did that, Elijah did that. And there are different ways that we can fast. We can fast with just us, like just me. Hannah did that when she was barren. She just fasted and then God, you know, make it possible for her to have a child. There is corporate fasting as well. We're going to talk in more detail about what the Bible talks about that. And who are the people who fast? You know what, Christian and non-Christian fast. There are different reasons for fasting. It could be political reason. If the government doesn't hear you, you go in front of the other one and start fasting and don't eat. You know, there are different reasons for fasting. Non-Christian fast a lot. For medical reasons, a lot of people fast for medical reasons. A lot of people have food and they start fasting for some other reason, like they just shrink. And some people fast that they're not supposed to eat certain kind of food, and that's for medical reasons. Non-Christian also do a lot of fasting, a lot of religion. This is part of their ritual. They fast every day, and this is something that is big for them. They fast and they do things in the supernatural because there's power in fasting. And if you know that, Muslims fast, and when we fast and we start praying, we need to know which source. That's why I said the source is, you know, the enemy is a copycat. Copycat. The New Age fast. And I'm telling you, a lot of the key leaders, they have a fasted lifestyle. They fast often. And they pray often. Who do they pray? That is the key. That's why we have to be very careful as Christians. When we fast and pray, we're going to be open. Our spirit is more open to the spiritual realm. And who are we hitting? What are we hitting? We need to make sure that we get the word of God so that we're grounded. Because I've seen many Christians who, like well-meaning Christians, who fast and pray, and they hit something that they shouldn't hit, and they could not distinguish because they're not strong in the word of God and they believe it is God. And they genuinely believe in God. And that's why when you do those kind of fasting, make sure you have a covering, you have people around you. Don't isolate yourself and be like God. Yes, there is a place with you and your God, but there is protection to have people, Christian brothers and sisters, who know the word of God and say, you know what, I'm going off this time. I don't know what you're hitting, you're going off. So be careful when you fast and pray. These are the pitfalls of fasting for Christians, because you have to understand that fasting is a powerful, powerful key that the enemy doesn't want you to know, because he knows there's power, and yet he's telling his people to do that. Let's give up fasting. Buddhists are fasting. And the Hindu are fasting. The big fast. Like, you know what? The Buddhism, like, I know a little bit more about that because my parents used to go to the Buddhist temple. The nun, they fast, like they don't eat meat at all. They do partial fasting, they don't eat meat at all. And then when they invoke their spirit and they play that drum, there's power in drumming.
Yeah.
It's warfare.
Yeah.
There's power in drumming. It's warfare. And when they beat that drum, that spirit just rises. So as Christians, there's power that the Lord has given us. But many of us, we don't know that. We can, oh, you know, fasting. Oh, yeah, life's good, it's good. But you know, I believe that God is bringing that back for us to get back what belongs to us. This is our inheritance. This is our inheritance for us to take. So why should Christians fast? We fast because we want to cut any external distraction so that we focus on God. When we fast, the main reason, we have to make sure that our motivation is right, is really to get closer to God. Because there's so many things that pull us everywhere else. And when we fast, we consciously say, you know what, I choose not to eat and I choose to pray and to get God into my circumstances. John has been saying about hate, what happened is that they make a pact with the enemy, and then what happened? When we say, you know God, I don't want you, he leaves very sadly. God is a God of love. He never, never, never wants to leave. He will not lie to his word. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. But when we don't want him, in the school, we don't want prayer. No wonder there's so much shooting going around. We say, God, out. And then when we say, God, out, we say, why is that God who's so good? And these things are happening. God showing you some of the things in your life what need to be done. Because you know why? Because you start to become like Him. You start to feel like Him. And how many know that us, we're not that good, really, if God is not in us. There's not much good in us. But when God is in us, we are like Christ. And from time to time, we become selfish. We need to go back to that living God. We need Him every day in our life. And we need one another. In Jeremiah 29, verse 13, it says, seek Him with all your heart, and you will find Him. In Joel 2:12, it says, return to me with all your heart through fasting. And Jesus made it very, very clear. He said, when you fast, you know, as a Christian, you don't understand, do you pray? You don't do that, right? You expect that every Christian pray. Fasting is expected on us. Because you know what? There's so much power in that. Fasting will help us to see a greater picture of the heavens. And it makes the air cleaner. Fasting is a key that unlocks the door. It's a major key. You know, a key, if you don't use it, is not useful. It's just a key. But a key, when it unlocks something, it is very useful. In the morning, if I don't unlock the door and to get all the coffee, I mean, no coffee break, you know what I mean? I might have the key, but if I don't use it, none of us enjoy coffee, and that's not a good thing. Fasting is a key. And forgiveness is a key. But if we don't use that key to open it, nobody enjoys it, including us. Nobody enjoy that. So really, there is so much victory in prayer and fasting. Remember in the Bible, in Matthew, when the lady came to Jesus with that epileptic boy, he said, you know what? Your disciples were trying to get that thing out, and it's not going. And Jesus said, oh, you're going to do it. And Jesus said, it only goes to prayer and fasting. There are things. I don't know why he's Jesus. He goes on much higher than my ways. You know, I wish he could go with prayer, but it doesn't always go, okay? Let's face it. And it doesn't. And Jesus said, it takes fasting to do that. And how many of fasting kill the flesh? Because, especially for those who like to eat like me, and those who love cooking, like I like cooking, fasting kill the flesh. And why did God choose fasting? I don't know. I'm not God. But it works. And you know, I believe that very often we believe that fasting, because God is going to open His hand, and there's a measure of truth in that. But if you turn your Bible to Isaiah 58 verse 16, you know what? If you want to, if you teach on fasting and you don't go to that verse, this is a very, very good verse. I believe when we fast, Satan has a grip on something, and he had to let it go. It's not that God already blessed us, okay? He gave His Son. I mean, come on. What else are we asking? Somebody who gave His Son to die on the cross for us. He already gave everything. I believe that sometimes there are things that are tied, that are hold, so that it's not released. And when we start fasting, in chapter 58, verse 6 and 11, is this not the path that I've chosen? To lose the bonds of wickedness. Loose. How many need that in our life? How many need it in your life? I need that. To undo the heavy burden. That's what fasting does. To let the oppressed go free. And that you break every voice, every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. And that you see the naked and you cover it. Fasting is going to go to a higher dimension. It will break the yoke of oppression. People who are oppressed, it just break it. Fasting break that. Fasting also brings direction and strategy. Jehoshaphat, the king, when he learned, if you go into Chronicle 20, I'm just going to tell you the story because of time. Jehoshaphat, the people came to him and said, you know what? The Moabites, Ammonites, and all the bites are against us, you know? How many sometimes you feel like all the bites are against you? The Bible said something that made it feel very real because we face that sometimes. King Jehoshaphat, the Bible says he was afraid. How many of us sometimes when the doctor says you have this, and that, these are the bites, and we're afraid. You know, that's reality of life. I mean, you can be a Christian as much as you want. Don't tell me you never got afraid. We do, but we are overcomers, right? So what did Jehoshaphat did? He did a corporate fast. He said, all of us, we're going to fast. All of them. That's what we're going to do. As a church, we're going to do a corporate fast. He said, they all fasted and prayed, the Bible says. And I mean, you know, to have the idea to send the worshiper before you so that you win the battle, this has to come from God. And they won the battle. Another example, Paul in Acts 9:9, when he was, you know, when God touched him in the road of Damascus, the Bible said he did not eat for 3 days. He didn't eat and drink for 3 days and 3 nights. In fact, you have Paul who doesn't drink for 3 days and 3 nights. You have Esther who did the corporate fast and get the people to fast for 3 days and 3 nights. No food, no water. And for that, I told you, be careful because it has to come from God before you do that. You will see a lot of time when we need direction. Fasting is something which is key. It will help you. Like, if I had to go back in my life, there are many things, many mistakes I wouldn't have made. I think that if I had really fasted and prayed. There's one passage where is that? I'm going to get into that. Lord help me, where is that passage? It's a very good passage in the Bible where the people, okay, that was in Judges. One of the men from the Benjamin tribe, they went and they raped one girl from the Levites. And what happened is that the Levites were after them and said, you know what, send the men out. They say, no, I'm not going to do that. They inquired the Lord. But what did they inquire the Lord? They went to
Judges 20.
And then they said, the Lord said, go. They went, defeated. Come back, inquire the Lord. They prayed. Went back into battle, defeated. Come back. Now they say, you know what, we're going to do a corporate fast and pray. Corporate fast and pray, inquire of the Lord, went, win the battle. I'm telling you, there's something powerful about praying. There's something even more powerful about fasting. And you know, the one thing I did notice, for people who have addiction, 3 days of fasting, if you read the book by Lisa Beer, 3 days of fasting help to break off addiction. Why is it 3 days? I don't know. A lot of people that I know that have problems with addiction, they do three, like they pray over. It's like, oh Lord, please help me. This is not from you. And it's not like they don't want to break that habit. It's just an addiction in their life that keeps seems to quit. Like I was sharing in Isaiah, 3 days of fasting and prayer, that thing just break. Have you ever prayed for something to happen and it doesn't seem to happen? I encourage you. Fast and pray. You will see things happening. A lot of things happen when we pray. And one of the things that happens is when we need strategy, when we need direction, fasting and prayer. And in the early church, you will see the church of Antioch, they fast and pray before this and Paul and Barnabas. A lot of that fasting was done. And you know, if fasting is so powerful, how many you don't really know fasting is something good, but you don't really understand the depth of fasting, and you've been in churches good enough. You don't have to raise your hand. I'm sure many of you will say yes, that's me. Let me tell you why, because the enemy doesn't want you to know that. And you know why? Because it goes against our culture. Our culture is life is a continuous meal, just keep eating, you know? And we live in a life of comfort. We love comfort. Every ad is about comfort. When somebody come and talk about fasting, we're like, oh, we don't need to do that. Jesus, oh, it's like, oh, come on. Other religion are doing it, or tapping into it, or seeing miracles come. Why are we not seeing miracles come? It's because we forsake that, which is so powerful. I'm not telling the pastor, it's the thing. It's one of the key, the major key. We had the privilege of hosting David Hogan. How many of you have been at the main church with David Hogan on Friday? He's an amazing man of God, 200 people raised from the dead. And we asked him this question, you know what? He really fasted lifestyle every other day. He doesn't eat. And he said, it seems to work for me. All the men of God that I know, John G. Lane, he said, I fast until I see the breakthrough. Charles Finney, Amy McPherson, all of them, like read a little bit about our forefathers, what they did, and you will see all of them as a pastor lifestyle. Mike Bickle, that's one of the best books on fasting and prayer. If you want to read a book on fasting and prayer, I read many books on fasting and prayer. The best, I would say, from my perspective, is from Mike Bickle, because he talks about the good thing about fasting. He's got so much experience in that. In fact, there's a revival going on there, and they've been hosting that for so many years. He lived a fasted lifestyle. He teaches young people about how to fast. And these young people are radical lovers of God, because when you stop fasting, you become lovers of God. Make sure that you have people around you, surrounding you, who know the Word of God, grounded in the Word of God, and is able to tell you when you're off. Because how many know that we do get off from time to time, all of us? That's why we need one another. It's like, God tell me this, God tell me that, but sometimes another God will tell me this. It's not always the God Almighty. Why? Because we're human beings. We need one another. That's why we need to be very careful about that. Our motivation needs to be pure. It's not like the Pharisees, you know what? And you know what? Let me tell you something right up front. Fasting don't make you more spiritual. Oh, you know what, I fast once a week. Maybe good for you, you need to do that. It is awesome. Fasting don't make you more spiritual. You know? We shouldn't come up with that air. Because it doesn't. Already the motivation is wrong. Fasting brings you closer to God. Fasting wants to make you closer to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I encourage you to do that. And I'm just going to give you a few things that happen. If you know Mahesh, he's a big fan of fasting. And he go to Africa often. And they had all those witchcraft doing all kind of these things. He did a crusade. Oh my goodness, it wasn't very good, that crusade, because all the witchcraft came together and start casting spells. The Lord showed him something. He started to pray and fast. And the Lord told him to pray, to command that spirit of witchcraft to leave. As soon as he finished fasting and prayed, he commanded that spirit to leave. That the tree just burned completely. You know why? Because all this witchcraft used to go there and cast a spell. Like in Mauritius, if you go to Mauritius, they will tell you don't go under a banana tree because they do a lot of stuff there. And Mauritius is a very exotic place. You have a lot of tourists. So the tourists will go, it's like they don't know, but they see that white flag. Oh, that's cute. They start eating the banana. Next thing that they know, they start to vomit. But how many know? I want you to know, that Christian, that the one in you is greater. You do not have to be afraid, because sometimes we hear the truth, and instead of moving forward, we're scared of them. I said, come on. God is bigger. God is bigger. Who are we serving? Don't be afraid of that. Things are going to happen, you like it or not. People are going to curse you. You know, it's like you say things that you shouldn't be saying. But who is for you? Go on the side who is the stronger. It's Jesus. So I just give you a little perspective of what fasting, you know, is all about, and I really encourage you to do that. What we're going to do as a church is that we're going to have a 40-day fasting. The way it's going to work is that we're going to start on February 23rd, and each once during those days of fasting, we're going to have a place where we're going to have a corporate prayer. So So the first week it's going to be at my place. I do have a list of the different dates, but you know what? I would encourage all of you, because when Jehoshaphat asked people to fast, it was not half of the people, it was all of us. Because there's power in unity. There's so much power in unity. And the way that we're going to do that is that we have a list of things that we're going to pray for. We want to be in unity in that as well. If, for example, this side is praying for revival and the other side is praying, no, not now because we're not ready. It's like, this is not unity. How many know it's not unity? So we have a list of things that we would love for you to pray. If you do have a problem with you know, because that's okay. Everybody has a right to have opinion, right? If you do have a problem with the things that we've listed out, please come and see me. But don't go against what we felt like, you know, what we planned, because then it's no unity for the body's sake. Let's come into unity. Because I've seen a lot of gifting from God that have come against the body of Christ. And instead of increasing and uplifting the body, we create more division. And that's not from God, it's from our own human perspective. So as we go into that fast, Jamila, can I have the list of that 20 that weekend thing? Please go at the back, sign up, and get the perspective of what we're going to do. So what we're going to do, why don't we all stand? So 40 days of fasting. Some of you might be saying, you know what, I'm not used to it. This is a new thing. You know, everything will have to start somewhere, right? And that's fine. Like some of you might want to fast for 40 days. Some of you might want to fast just for the breakfast. Or some of you maybe just for the lunch. Some of you, like you ask God. You know, many people, they don't want to fast. Oh, we are not in the legalism, you know. It's a big difference between legalism and discipline. Legalism is like you have to do it. Don't do it, God is going to be very upset with you. No. Fasting is voluntary. God didn't want, I really want to come closer to you. And I really want us as a church to come closer to you, because you're going to use us. You brought us to McLean, and we've met more people than we've ever met in our 4 years at ACC. More people have heard the music than we've been at ACC for 4 years. There's a reason for that. They have more to use you, me and you. So week of 23rd to 27, we're going to pray about Christian living. It's very detailed there. So please get a copy and make sure that you know what we make the call that we say, God, what exactly do you want us to fast for? Yeah, we can do that as well. We can send it on the newsletter as well, so that the people who, you know. But if you don't have a printer, you're welcome to go ahead and do that. So let's pray. So Father, we thank you, Father God, that as a church, we want to come together, Father God. We want to go forward in unity, Father God. We don't want anybody behind, Father God. We want to move on, Father God, to the next level that you have for us. So Father, we thank you that as 2010 comes, Father God, we know that you've been talking to us about forgiveness. And Father, we've seen things happen when we start forgiving, Father God. When the layers of forgiveness just peel off us, Father God, good things are happening. And Father, we thank you that you're giving us another key, which is fasting, Father God. And Father, I just pray, Lord God, as we choose to surrender ourselves as a living sacrifice, Father, you will come. You will come. You will unlock the door, Father God, and the enemy will have no right to hold on to the things that are meant for us to enjoy, Father God. So, Father God, for some of us who are new in that, Father, I just pray, Lord God, that you give us the ability to be able to hear, to be able to know your voice, Father God. You say, my sheep hear my voice. And for some of us who never feel like we can hear from you, Father, open up. Open up their ears that we can hear you. Even right now, as I'm speaking, Holy Spirit, you will customize what I'm saying to the people, Father God. And Father, for some of us who have addiction in our life, and we really meant good, we really meant to pray for addiction. We try and try and try. We pray and pray and pray. the shame. And Father, I know that you come to take away our shame, Father God. You come because you love us, Father God. And Father, I just pray right now, Father God, you show us, can it be the only good for Christ? Could it be that we need to fast? Could it be that we can help our friends fast with that person and in unity? We just come against those things and see it come. So Father, I thank you for life and fasting. I thank you that your ways are much higher than our ways, Father God. And as we come together, Father God, I thank you that you will come through. You will come through because you are a good God. So thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in this place.